Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another lively program of Two Guys with Heart. We have a very powerful program for our listeners today. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, I'm telling you, our listeners are on the edge of their seats today. Put your seatbelts on, folks. We're going to give you a good one. We have some very sticky questions. We've been sticking to this format of difficult questions to respond to. I think maybe next week we'll change back and go to our previous format. But I'm rather enjoying trying to crack some of these very difficult questions that people come up with and we come up with ourselves, and trying to find out what the scriptures say about it. And a key question that I think is valuable for us to look at is, will God always supply our needs? Isn't that a question, particularly guys our age, Dave? Isn't that a concern that we have? We get into our senior years, we say, hey, we're retired. Boy, what can happen to us now?
I think I was scared to death when I retired.
Yeah.
But through the last 3 years, I've grown comfortable with saying, hey, God's going to always supply our need.
Yeah.
It's
always been met.
It gets tough. You look at the bank account and say, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Yeah. And, you know, finally the Lord supplies all of our need.
Isn't that amazing?
My father taught me that from the beginning. How are you going to build this house, Dad? He said, we've got the old one sitting right here. Yeah. It was a big pile of junk. My mom was so mad at my dad for putting us out there in the country on the hillside. And brought this dump truck and we smashed everything. We didn't care. We wanted to get that house down and get it in the truck and get it out of there. And my dad, he didn't know anything about it. He knew he had to cut 2x4s first.
Yeah, that's what he did.
Okay, so I remember the day that my father asked the inspector to come and to inspect what my father had built. And all of us were right there because we want to know whether Dad had built it right or wrong.
Yeah.
And the first thing the inspector said to my dad, and I watched my dad so intently. I was old enough. I was about 12 years old, maybe 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. The man said to my father, Andy, you made a big mistake. He said, what's that? He said, you built the chimney out of brick, which was good, in the middle of the house. Never work. You got to build it outside and put it up on the side wall. I watched my father. He said, okay, I'll do that and call you when I'm done. And that night, my dad began to take the brick down in the middle of the house, put it over here, and redo it all the way back up again.
You're kidding.
I respected my father after that. He didn't swear. He didn't jump up and scream and yell and holler, think that God had forgotten him. He thanked the Lord that he found it early enough.
That he
could
do.
And we were going to die with that in the middle because when the wind came, it brought the smoke down into our basement.
Yeah.
I woke up one morning, jumped out of bed. My whole family was sleeping. And all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe, and I was feeling like I was faint, and I was going to fall. It was a little smoky, and I made my way to the door and opened the door and fell onto the outside.
Wow.
But I was smart enough to know that I had to get my family out of that house.
Yeah.
And so I went back yelling, get up, get out of here. This house is filled with smoke, and it's taking our oxygen, and we're all going to die.
Wow.
And my family stumbled out of bed,
Yeah.
went out on the porch.
Wow.
That's when we went to live with the neighbors. We never even knew our neighbors. We called them that day. See, we got to live with you.
Yeah. So you put the chimney higher. The chimney has to be higher
it
than the roof.
It has to be higher than the roof.
Chimney
right.
has
that
to be higher than the
down
roof.
And just,
he didn't know that.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
My dad learned a lot about building.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm glad to.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I have the memory. I never decided to build my own house.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I knew that I was, not for me.
That's right. You have a lot of talent, but that wasn't one of them.
That was right. You have to do what you can do.
That's right.
What are we off the subject or are we on the subject?
Well, you have the right idea. You're thinking right. Will God always supply our need? What's it say? Psalms 37 has one of my favorite verses about that issue. Let me read it to you. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. See what that means? Okay, the young people, when you were working and you were entitled to get out what you put in, but now when you're old and you've reached your senior years, you're not going to be forsaken by God. God will take care of you. He will supply your needs because your work is done. I just think that's beautiful scripture.
Hey, it's wonderful when you can do things right. I remember when my father needed a house to live in. He'd been, and Judy and I went next door and said to the lady, whenever you want to get rid of this house, we want to buy it for our parents. And that lady died within, you know, a couple of years. They didn't even put it on the market. We said, we want this house, name the price, we'll buy it. And we bought the house.
Wow.
Before that, we had never, we had only purchased tires for my dad. I remember one day my dad, I went over and his tires were all bald. Yeah. And I took it down to the station and took mine off, put them on his car because I just bought new tires.
Yeah.
And so my dad, he never felt like he was out. Yeah. God always
God
provided.
God took care of him, yes.
God
always provided
God
something.
God always gave. My dad ended his life with money in the bank. I moved to Iowa, and this was in Camp Hill. Okay. I moved to Iowa to become the pastor there. They called me from Barbados, and so when I got there, I looked at my mom and dad when I came to visit and get my final stuff and put it in the truck and got out of here. I felt so sorry for them that I said, "Dad, Mom, you're moving to Iowa."
What? Took them along.
And we got a truck in there. We brought them, and I lived in a mobile home in Iowa. And there was a mobile home down at the end of the street that came open. And I called my dad and said, "I've got the house for you. So you're on the same block as I am." And we came back and got a truck, and we drove all the moment. Well, they didn't have any furniture. Yeah. I don't know why I even got the truck. We could have put it in the back seat.
Isn't that a remarkable? And, I didn't know that, Dave.
And my mom and dad lived. We moved past here for 7 years.
7 years, and your parents lived right down the block from you.
And when we were through there, we moved back to Pennsylvania, and then mom and dad said, "We are not staying here in Iowa. Are you kidding me?" And we got another truck, and we brought them back.
That's fascinating.
It ended up, my mom and dad, they had money in the bank when they died that they never had.
Never dreamed of having that when they were young. Nope. That's right. The Lord provides in your senior years. It's amazing, isn't it?
You know what? These days with you, Giff, you bring up so many memories and I can't get them out fast enough.
Yeah. Oh,
and
I understand.
I have lived a life that when I think about it, I'm pleased where I'm at today. I'm here giving of my time to WPFG, but you don't know the comfort.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, Dave. The comfort you feel because of your efforts.
I can't tell you how happy a man I am because of our station.
Well,
and because of you who listen are rewarded with things that come out of our mouths that God said, "Someday I will use you, Dave, in Carlisle, and you'll be on the radio." Yeah. Who would have ever thought of this?
That's right.
When I was through, I was through. I was going to sit and mope in my house for all the rest of my years. And what, we've been here 5 years now?
Yeah, we've been here for 5 years.
Best 5 years I could have ever had.
Yeah, me too. I could say the same. And see, it's because you dedicated your life to the work of Christ as a young man. You're just being rewarded for your efforts here on earth, and you'll have even a greater reward in the future. The Lord works miracles on our lives, does he not? And we should be down on our hands and knees every night being thankful for what we have and where we are. And now our job is to share that good news with our listener base. Because, you know, maybe you and I are helping hundreds of people right now. They're having difficulties. They're having concerns. They're not sure where they're going to turn next. And I'm telling them that their answers to their problems and their questions are found in the scriptures. Open the Bible and read it. The answers are there. All kinds, every question you can think of. We throw some hard stuff at each other right here in this radio station, but our answers come from the scriptures.
Here's a good question.
Okay.
Why does God allow poverty?
Well, yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, yeah, we've been talking about how we're getting rich and not how we're making it. God's supplying all of our needs. But how about the people who don't have a dollar?
Yeah. Proverbs gives a lot of those kind of things. You ever listen to our financial guy in the afternoon? He was on the airwaves, and he's quoting Proverbs all the time. You know, he says, you know, you shouldn't borrow money because you're a slave to the lender and all that sort of thing. Well, Proverbs tells you a lot about dollars. Proverbs chapter 10, in fact, says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of diligence maketh rich."
I like that. I like
now,
that verse.
In other words,
gives you
if
a
you're
chance.
Working, that's right.
Gives
if you're
you
willing
chance.
To work for it, it's available there. But you're not going to get if you're going to sit home and watch television 16 hours out of the day. That's not going to work. And all too often, that's where people are looking for the easy way out. And then they complain because they don't have enough. Well, you turn to the Lord and see what the Lord says, and then you'll be willing to work for it.
And I think we're coming to the end of this, but I think we should say to each other, wisdom that we started with is still a vital part. The Bible says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall all the rooms be filled with precious and pleasant riches.
That's correct.
And
wisdom is your point is well taken, Dave. You're saying that wisdom is the key to your riches. If you're smart enough to work properly and long enough and hard enough, you're going to be able to get there. And I quite agree with that. In fact, I often think of, I got to figure out a way to slow my daughter down. My daughter is she's accomplished a lot in her 41 years. But she works 75, 80 hours a week to get there. So, oh my goodness, can't you slow down a little bit? I'd like to get her to slow down because I want her to be around a long time yet. She works too hard. But she's entitled to all that she has accomplished and all that her value is there. She has earned it, and she works for it diligently. And that's what the scriptures are telling us, though, that if you're willing to roll up your sleeves and work for it, it's available. Yeah, but you can't be a slacker. You got to get up and do your job properly. It all starts with wisdom. I thank you, Dave, for sharing that thought process because I couldn't agree with you more. And our listener base needs to understand and appreciate that. If you're wise enough to sit down and think it through and do the right thing, that the Lord is going to take care of you and the riches will come your way.
Hey, the Bible says God will always supply our needs.
That's right.
Well, when I came to the radio station 5 years ago, and they said, "Do you want to be the chaplain?" I said, "Well, what does a chaplain do?" And they said, "We don't know, but if you'll come, we'll work it out." And the money was never involved.
Never an issue.
Because everybody has to give so that we can continue. We can't go on because there's not that kind of money. It has to come from everybody. And the amazing part about it, look what comes.
Yeah. Our listener base is kind and giving.
I've been here when the bank account was $100.
I know, and less than $100 already.
And then I've been here when it's like $25,000. It's amazing.
The Lord comes through. Yeah,
you just can't believe it. Well, you know, I've gone home from board meetings here frightened.
Me too. More than once, I had payroll to meet, and there was no money in the checkbook. How was I going to pay these people?
Right, and God provides.
And God provides. Our listener base comes through. They understand that we are a 501c3 organization, and it takes dollars to do that, and they faithfully will contribute to it. We have some people contribute once, twice, three times a year. Some contribute every month. And in fact, we have several people that faithfully will send us a contribution every month and expect nothing in return. Isn't that heartwarming? These are strong Christian people.
They're going to be rewarded.
They will be rewarded. Yes.
It's important.
Yes. And look at our staff. The staff that we have, you cannot find a greater group of people than we have working at this radio station. They are all fine Christian people committed to spreading the good news of Jesus Christ.
And we couldn't do it without them.
We couldn't do it without them. You talk about a miracle, and that's what WPFG is all about. Our listener base, our board members, our staff. As you said, we have a working board. All of our board members, they don't get paid a dime. But they put long, hard hours in to make these things happen. All these events that we have are all conducted by our board members. And our staff does the very best they can to contribute as well. They come in, put extra hours in without pay to help us get through these issues and these events that we coordinate. That's the Lord at work. That's a great group of people. And you know something, Dave? I attribute the majority of that overwhelming success to our chaplain. I just want you to know that you have provided a lot of guidance and leadership in this radio station. You will never, ever be forgotten as long as WPFG is in existence.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I feel such a small part of our station.
You're not.
I have enjoyed being here. I feel like God has brought me here, and I want to stay as long as I can. Everybody says, Dave, when are you going to quit? When are you going to give up that radio? When are you going to run all over the world trying to do something for free? I said, hey, man, as long as I can do it, I'll be here.
That's right. That's exactly right.
If the Lord is going to tarry his coming and I could live to be 100 and I'm still here behind this microphone.
You'll do it.
That'll be the happiest day of my life.
Exactly. We'll be here together 20 years from now, Dave. We're going to be doing the best we can.
Yes, I hear you.
Well, let's try to answer some of these questions. By the way, I might want to share with our listeners what our intentions are for the next several weeks anyway. Dave and I had done some programs on marriages a few years back, and that was very well received. And I found some other literature. You know how that is when we start reading these books, and it stimulates some thought process. I think we should do a couple of programs on how to strengthen your marriage. That question comes up a lot. Not that our ideas that we've been working on lately in our format has been very informative and has changed people's lives. But I think I'd like to get back to just talk about the family unit again and strengthen the marriage and see if I can't help some of our listeners strengthen their, not only their husband, wife relationships and their marriage, but all of that family life associated with a good marriage. Good financial stability, a good financial plan, raising your children properly and making certain that they grow up. You know, you do your very best to raise your children, but you don't know how it's going to end up. You know, what are they going to be like when they're 19, 20, 21, they're out on their own? You get no guarantees. I don't care who you are or how well you think you've raised your children. You get no guarantees. They can make one bad decision and it's all over real quick. So that's the sort of thing I'd like to talk about and see if we can't strengthen the family unit. So look forward to us next week. We're going to change gears and we're going to focus energy in that direction.
We're going to do this next week. We're going to start. I thought you were talking about the future.
Yeah, that is the future. Well, next week is the future to me.
The future next week.
That's right. It's next week. We're going to start that. However, we'll finish this week. We'll try to stick to an agenda here in answering some of the difficult kinds of questions. How about angels, Dave? That's a good question for you. You're a pastor. You have studied this thing. Angels is always something that we had on our mind. are there all kinds of angels? What kind of angels are out there? And how do we recognize angels? Are they good questions to ask?
Sure.
I think it is. Are there different kinds of angels?
I believe in angels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember studying that in Sunday school class years ago, and my Sunday school teacher said that all the angels in the Bible are male, no female angels. I didn't know that until my Sunday school teacher told me that. Now, you're a pastor. Do you know, can you verify that that's a fact?
Well, that
all the angels in the Bible are, you know, like Gabriel, Michael, and all those, you know, et cetera, all the angels are all male. Is that true to your knowledge?
Why, to be truthful, I couldn't answer that without looking at a little bit.
Yeah,
that,
I'd have to confess.
I have not
that
put
either.
That in my mind that says, hey, okay, all the angels are.
Boy, now when I stumped you, that's a good one. Because I have to confess, I only say that because my Sunday school teacher that I had some, I don't know, 25 years ago, something like that, told me that. And I have no reason to believe it isn't true because I've never found anything different. But when I'm reading this material and I look at some scripture, I'm finding it, yes, there are different kinds of angels. Is there a male, female associated with that? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Let's see what the scriptures say the best I can that I could find anyway. In Psalms 104, it says, "Who maketh his angels spirits, his minister a flaming fire." A flaming fire? Okay. What does it say in Isaiah? "Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings, with twain and covered his face, and with the twain he covered his feet, and with the twain he did fly." Now, that's an unusual angel, but that scripture is talking and describing an angel. "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, who I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening obligation." Wow, that's out of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel is always a tough book for me to read and understand. Did you have any trouble reading, studying Daniel in your younger days? I did. I have to admit that was complicated.
Even in Bible college, Daniel is a tough book.
Yeah, it is. It is for me. It still is for me. I'm not going to deny it.
You have to take it slow and easy and get a help Bible.
Is that right? Is that the best way to learn what they're trying to say?
They have so many Bibles that you can now sit and read five or six Bibles, and they'll all say it a little bit different.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, so do I.
I'm not a King James person.
I read from the King James Version because most of the notes that I have are from the King James Bible.
Right, and I believe in that. But I found out that if you read King James, you'll be done in maybe one chapter. But if you read the Message Bible, you could read for a half hour.
I have to agree to that too. I read more.
So if somebody's going to say,
more.
"You better read the Bible 2 hours a day," I'm reaching for
the Living Bible or the NIV,
right,
New International Version.
Everybody has a different. I have 30 Bibles in my.
Yeah,
in my
so
library.
Do I. Yeah, yeah.
I thought Dakes was a Bible that was extinct and gone, and all of a sudden I found that they've redone themselves.
Is that right?
They've made a new Bible out of it. It doesn't look like the old Dakes.
Yeah.
And a young person, came in the church, and he had it's real big on his Bible, Dakes.
How about that?
And I said, "Hey, where did you get that Bible?" He said, "Oh, this is new."
Yeah.
I said, "I don't know.
Different
this is
church.
Old."
It's been around for a long time.
It's been around. He said, I looked at a lot of Bibles, and this gives me the most
some background
and the most help.
My wife has several of those helpful Bibles like that. Yeah. David Jeremiah has written one of those too. That, you know, it says, "Okay, here's what the scriptures say. Now here's what it means in English that you can easily understand." And those are very helpful. I have to confess. Maybe I should study Daniel out of one of my wife's Bibles. Well, sir, it's very fascinating that we study the angels and the dollar values that we've had to cover all those subjects today. And I think it's interesting. But once again, Dave, as you and I try to dissect the scriptures and answer some difficult questions, the time goes by so quickly We have to say goodbye to our listener base. But these are heartwarming stories that you'll find in the Bible, answers to all your complicated questions. It's all in there. You just have to take your time to go through it. So for now, Dave and I have to say goodbye. We thank our engineer, Carla DeJesus, who so faithfully serves and helps us and makes this program possible to our listener base. For now, we say bye-bye.
See you later. It's been fun again today. I enjoyed being with you. See you next time. Dave Colonin here. Bye-bye.